If I had one opportunity to share a message from the Bible with you, if I had one opportunity to share a message that I know would transform your life forever, if I had one thing that I will share with you that will ultimately impact your life today and forevermore, it would be this one thing. God's ways always works. God's ways always works. And the thing about it is the reason why I will say that is because when you do it God's way, it will always work. It will always produce the results which his word says they will produce. See, when I used to be a youth pastor years ago, the very first time I ever went into the service, I went into the service and I had never been a youth pastor before. So I'm telling God, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know what he says. Go in there and teach the same word just like you're teaching adults. And I'm like, okay, I could go in there. So I went in there. It's my very first time. And the church that I was at the time, they didn't have a youth ministry. So this is all brand new. So I go in there and there's probably about 10 of them in there and it's me. And I go in there and I start teaching them, talking to them, teaching them the word, just like I would as if I was going to stand before the main congregation. And let me tell you, it was so bad. I'm telling you, it was so bad. I wanted it to be over. That's how bad it was. It was like watching paint dry. It was horrible. I know they were suffering. I was suffering. I'm like, Lord, that was terrible. You said to go in there and teach the same word like I would teach the adult. He says, yes. He says, but you have to teach them at their level. See, I went in there and I had a way that it seemed right to me, the way that I was going to produce. The word I was giving them was right on point. It lined up with the word of God. It was exactly what it is that they needed to hear. The problem was, is when I was sharing it in a method and a way that even though the word would be beneficial to their life, they could not receive it because their faith was not at that level. And most of them had not even read the Bible before. So it was way over their heads. So what did I do? The next week I said, okay, Lord, if I'm going to do this, you're going to have to help me to do this. Because again, I don't know what I'm doing and I need some help. And just as I'm walking out of that very first service, this young lady comes up to me and says, hey, do you need help in the youth ministry? Because I used to serve in the youth ministry when I was at another church somewhere. I said, that would be great. So the next week I come back and I'm like, okay, God says to teach the same word, but teach it at a level to which they can receive it. Now, if you've ever been in the grocery store, there is this product called Shake and Bake. And on Shake and Bake, it has a picture on the front of what that the chicken should look like once you use the Shake and Bake. But on the back of that box, there's also a set of instructions. Now, what that box is saying is, if you follow these instructions that are on the back of this box, in the end, you should get the same result as the picture that's on the front. Why am I saying that to you today? Because if you follow God's word, and if I do what his word says, the way that he says to do it, I should get the same results. You should get the same results that his word is promising. But for many people, myself included, we might do it 75% of the way, or we might do it 85% of the way. But God says, if you want to get 100% results, you have to do it 100% the way that I'm instructing you to do it, if you're going to see the results that you want to see from my word. Now, a lot of people, even when it comes to prayer, you know, we taught on prayer last year for probably 13 weeks. We taught on prayer. Lord, teach me how to pray. And what it was is going step by step. How do you pray? And I thought it was going to be maybe 4 weeks. It ended up being 13 weeks, and God went line upon line upon line about this is how you pray. And even what people call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 is not not the Lord's Prayer. That is a model of how to pray. And if you go back and listen to that Whole series is still on Apple Podcast and Spotify. It's out there. It's Lord, Teach Me How to Pray. And it's 13 weeks just teaching people how to pray. Why am I sharing all this with you? Why is he here having to share all this in the very beginning? He says, because if you don't believe that God's ways always work, you won't be willing to do it God's way. He said, if you don't believe my way works, you won't be willing to do it my way. In fact, do you know in order to receive Jesus as your Lord, it says in Romans chapter 10, we usually say Romans 8, 9, and 10, which says it this way. It says, the word of God is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess the Lord Jesus. Now, do you know that word confess? If you look up the Greek word, it's homologio. That word homologio literally means to say the same thing. In other words, you're saying, in order for you to receive Jesus, you have to say the same thing about Jesus that God said about Jesus. If you want to receive, and it goes even further than that. He says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So what are you going to confess? What are you going to say that's the same thing that God has already said? He says you have to say or come in agreement with the fact that God sent his son Jesus, and that Jesus, when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. See, you got to confess out of your mouth that Jesus, he is Lord, and you have to believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Why do you have to believe that God raised him from the dead? Why would you have to say that? Because that's what God has already said about Jesus. And if God has already said that about Jesus, if you want to get the result of salvation, you have to say about Jesus the exact same thing that God has already said about Jesus. If you want to get the results of healing, you have to say the same thing that God has already said about healing. If you want to get the results of prosperity in your life, prosperity meaning increase in every area of your life, in your relationships and your resources, in every area of your life, you have to say the same thing about that situation that God is saying about it. Why am I sharing that with you this early in the message? Because God says, if you don't believe that his word is true, if you haven't made a decision that his word is 100% right, then you won't say about the situation the same thing he says about the situation. And if you don't say the same thing about the situation that he's already said about the situation, then how can two of you walk together? How can you all get the same results if you're saying two totally different things about the exact same situation? If you look at how Jesus did ministry, he told us over in John chapter 14, I want to say is verse number 10, I believe it is. And this is what Jesus said. He's talking to his disciples, and even his disciples who had been with him for years, they had been with him for like 3 years. Jesus says, Philip said to him, Philip said to Jesus, he says, in John chapter 14, verse 8, he says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus answered him. He says, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? And God is saying that to you, and God is saying that to me. Have I been with you so long, and yet you don't know me? Yet you don't perceive? Yet you don't understand? Yet you don't comprehend who I am? Jesus says to Philip, he says, Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me? He says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He says, so how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus says, if you see me, you've already seen the Father. He says, so how are you going to ask, show me the Father? Then Jesus goes on to say this. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? listen to this part, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. What does Jesus say? He says, the words that I'm saying, the words that I'm communicating to you, the words that I'm sharing with you, the words that I teach, the words that I preach. He says, these aren't even my own words. These are the words of the Father. He says, and when I come in agreement with and I say the same thing that the Father says, guess what I get? I get the same result as if the Father himself was doing it. Why? Because the Father is the one who does the work. Do y'all see that part? When you say what God says about the situation, opposed to saying what other people are saying about the situation, you will get the same result that God said about the situation. Why? Because God is obligated. God will hasten to his word to perform it. In fact, it says that in Jeremiah that God watches over his word to perform it. He literally watches over his word. In fact, it says this about Jeremiah when God was showing Jeremiah that he had called him and ordained him from his mother's womb before he was ever in his mother's womb. He had already called him to be an prophet. And this is what God did. God says this. He says, and in Isaiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, this is what is written. It says, then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, this is what the Lord said. Jeremiah said, the Lord did. The Lord said to him, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. God is saying to Jeremiah, I have put my words in your mouth. And that's what Jesus says. Jesus says, hey, the words that I'm speaking, these, I don't speak on my own authority. I speak on the authority of the one who gave me the words to speak. And when I spoke those words and I came in agreement with what he had already said about the situation, then he performed the work. Well, how you know it's the same thing? Well, God goes on to read what Isaiah. He says, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. So what do you think? This is what God is saying to Jeremiah, what he sent Jeremiah to do. What do you think Jesus was sent to do? Jesus was sent to do the same thing. To do what? He was there to root out, pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, what was he rooting out? What was he destroying? What was he pulling down? And what was he throwing down? The kingdom of darkness. He was uprooting, pulling out, throwing down, casting down, putting away the kingdom of darkness. But what was he building and planting? He was planting and building the kingdom of God that's on the inside of us. God's ways always work. Then he goes on to says, God goes on to say to him, that in verse number 12, he says, the Lord says, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. When the word of God, when you come in agreement with what it is God's word says about that situation, when you go to God in prayer and you ask God concerning the situation, or when you concerning the matter, when you ask according to his word, when you pray according to his will, it says this in 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. Now, this is when you come to God in prayer. When you come to God in prayer, you're coming to God in prayer and you're saying, Father, according to your will, or Father, according to your word. Your word says then, according to Isaiah 53 and 5, that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Not only healed, we're whole. And Father, I come in agreement with, and I'm saying the same thing about this situation that you're saying about the situation. I'm confessing with my mouth and I'm believing in my heart what you have already said about the matter. And as a result, I believe I receive those things which I have desired of you. God's word, God's ways are always, always, always right, and God's word and God's way always work for those who work it. Now, you could say, you could confess out of your, stuff out of your mouth and not believe it in your heart at all. And guess what? You'll get no result because God already knows what you're saying. You don't believe it. And see, that's the thing about it. A lot of times we've been taught to, you know, just make confession, confession, confession. But if you confess, but you don't believe, remember, it's a two part. If you confess with your mouth, what you already believe in your heart. It has to be something that you already believe in your heart. You know, a lot of times when you talk to people, if you want to locate somebody or you want to understand where they really are on the matter, not what they say, what they believe, but if you really want to know where they are, all you got to do is listen to the words that come out of their mouth. Man, God did this and God said this and I prayed and God did this and this, but. And for me, the moment they say, you know, God's word says this and God's word says that and everything, but. I discount everything they said before they got to that but, because after that but is what I'm going to find out. But I don't know if God's willing to do that for me because, you know, I ain't been good and I ain't done everything right. None of us have. None of us have done everything right. All of us have room to improve, myself included. But there's one thing that I know for sure, that God's ways always works for those who work it. Like my shake and bake example, God's ways always work. You know what's funny? The next week, I told you about my shake and bake example when I took it back to the youth ministry the second time. I took it back to the youth ministry the second time. I used the same word. I just said it in a manner to which they would be able to receive it. And you know what? It was the turning point on the launch pad for that ministry that took off simply because I made a decision to come in agreement with what it is that God had already said about the youth ministry, but I wasn't saying to him what he had already said about the matter. Why is this important to you and I? Because God said a few weeks ago, he says he made this declaration in accordance to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1, when he had brought the children of Israel of Egypt, when they had prayed and asked God to deliver them from this oppression, and they had prayed and asked God, you know, to do something about their situation and about their circumstances. And God delivered them using the man Moses to deliver them out of the hand of their oppressor. And then this is what God said to the people after he had brought them out. Why did God tell them that they needed to do this one thing first? That was the foundation by which everything else will be built on. See, when you come into the body of Christ, the first thing you have to do is make a decision to make Jesus Lord, not Savior, Lord. Why? Because if he is Lord, everything else is built off the fact that you have made a decision that he is Lord. He is supreme in authority. He is supreme in character. He is owner. He is possessor. He has the final say. When Jesus has when that's the foundation of your life, that Jesus is the Lord of your life, he gets the final say. Then it moves you, your mama, your daddy, your grandmama, Pookie, Ray Ray, Quita, all of them off the throne of your life. And Jesus is sitting on the throne of your life. He is the one who which will make, hey, you know what, Lord, I'm thinking about do X, Y, Z. But Father, what does your word say about that? Lord, I'm thinking about saying such and such because I want to give them a piece of my mind. But what does your word say about that? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're coming when you step off the throne of your life and make Jesus the Lord of your life. He gets the final say. And what God said to the children of Israel when he brought them out, he says, God gave all these people these instructions. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and it says it this way. God says, I am the Lord, your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must now not have any other God but me. He says, you must not make for yourselves an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or in the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon the children, the entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. He says, but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commandments. See, the word of God says in Proverbs chapter 14, there is a way it seems right. It seems right. It appears to be right. It even looks like you're getting the same result. But God says, but in the end, that way is death. In the end, that way is destruction. In other words, if you make the shake and bake and you leave out one ingredient, it says to put it on 400 Fahrenheit and you put it on 450, and it says to do it for 50 minutes and you leave it in for 50 minutes, but you put it on the wrong degrees, guess what? You're going to get a result, but it's not the same result as you would have got if you would have put it on 400. Why? Because you had it too hot. And because it's too hot and you left it in at the same amount of time, you will burn that thing up and it won't look like anything like the picture because you did not follow the instruction. And God is saying it this way. I'm telling you from the very beginning that the first decision you have to make in your heart, that you will have no other God before me. You will have no other gods beside me. Why would he have to tell these people that? Because they're coming out of a situation and circumstances where the people were serving false gods. They was bowing down to idols. And then Jesus said it this way. He says, glory be to God. He says in Matthew chapter 7, he says, the choice is yours. He says, there's two ways. He says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. But the highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide. And for the many who choose that way, he says, but the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. In other words, he says, if you want to go it out, and find a way to do it the world's way, to do it opposite God's way, he said that road is wide. He said, but for people who have made a decision, I am going to follow the kingdom of God's way of doing things. I'm going to submit my life to God's ways of doing things. So even when it gets hard, and even when it gets tight, and even when it seems like I'm like a fish swimming against the grain, he says, I have made a heart decision, not a head decision, a heart decision that I'm going to do it God's way. You said, but there is only one way. No, there's two ways. There's two ways. There's the way of life. We found out in Romans chapter 8, verse number 2 says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is a way of law of life, and there's a way of sin and death. And who is the deciding factor? God does not decide that for you. Adversary, Satan does not decide that for you. Your mama, your grandmama, they don't decide that for you. You are the deciding factor if you're going to do it God's ways. How do you know? Because way back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14, it says this. It's interesting because it sounds a whole lot like Romans chapter 10, verse 8. It says this. It says, no, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and it is in your heart so that you can obey it. Now, listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day, this is God speaking to the children of Israel. He says, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God, and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. He says, if you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Now, God is saying this. This is my instructions to you so that you can get the results I've already promised you. If you make a decision to do it this way, he says, I'm setting the choice before you right now that my ways always work. He said, and if you do it my ways, then you will get this. He says, but remember I told you before everything that you say before the but, you know, you hear that it's like, okay, but then God says this, but if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I will warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long life, long or good life, in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. So did he say, I'm going to do this to you? No. He says, if you refuse, if you choose to go a different way, if you choose to go a different route, if I'm telling you the best way to go, but if you make a decision to go a different way, he says, you will get very different results. If you make a decision to go a different way, we'll get different results than what God's word said we'll get, not because it was God's will, but because we have made a decision to do it our way. Then God says to them again, he says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curse. He says, now I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. He says, you can make this choice by loving the Lord, your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did he say? He says, I'm setting before you life, and there's death. He says, and there's blessing, and there's curse. I want you to choose life, because if you choose life, these are all the things that come with life. He says, but you can make a decision to go a different way. And he says, and if you make that decision to go a different way, then you'll get a very different result. If you make a decision, if you say that I'm going to say what God says about that situation, that even when the situation doesn't look like what it is God's word says, you still got to say what it is God has already said about that situation, because that is God's ways of doing. How can you say that? I'm going to share this with you, and this is where we're going to close. How do you know that if I say about the situation what God has said about the situation, even though the situation doesn't look like it at the time, I'll still get God's results? Because that's the way of the kingdom of God. The way of the kingdom of God works this way. God says it this way in Isaiah 55 and 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my way, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He says, for as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud. He says, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Listen to this. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it must accomplish that which I please and prosper in the things where I have sent it. Remember what Jesus said, the words that I speak, there I don't speak on my own authority. I speak, he says, this is the principle. I confess with my mouth what God has already said about the situation. And I believe in my heart what it is that God has already said about the situation. And guess what God does? He brings to pass, he does the work to bring that thing to pass. What was the same thing he said to Isaiah? As you were Jeremiah, what did he say to Jeremiah? I put my words in your mouth. When you speak my words out of your mouth, what will you be doing? You'll be pulling down, tearing down, throwing down, casting down the old, and you will be planting and building the kingdom. What is God saying to you and I? He says, the kingdom of God, my kingdom, the kingdom of God, which is on the inside of every born again believer, everyone who's made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. He says, the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the sovereign rulership and governing influence of a king over his territory or his domain, impacting it with his will, his intent, and his purpose. The kingdom of God is not an invasion of physical land, but it invades the hearts of men and women. The kingdom of God is in you and I right now, and if you are born again. It says in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, it says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. Why? For indeed, The kingdom of God is within you. So when you get born again, the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of your spirit. They take out that old sin nature, replacing it with the nature of God. And when he replaces it with the nature of God, then guess what? When you begin to pray and ask God about a matter, you might ask him concerning the situation, and you're studying to show yourself approved. You're studying to renew your mind by the word of God. Guess what happens when a situation, a circumstance comes up? The Holy Spirit will give you, will bring back to your remembrance a word to say concerning that situation. If you're being under attack, he will bring up Psalms 91, and he'll say in Psalms 91, it says, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but no harm should come nigh you. So what do you say about that situation? Father, I declare and decree that 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. I confess that out of my mouth because that's what I believe in my heart. And guess what happens? You will get the result to which you just said. How else do you know? Because the kingdom of God that's on the inside of you, is talking about God's ways of doing things. What is the kingdom of God, you may ask? Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says it this way. It says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drinking. He says, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And where is that righteousness at? Inside of you. Where's that peace at? Inside of you. Where's that joy at? Inside of you. How? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. And just like when Jesus walked on the earth, everything that Jesus encountered wasn't always good. He came under persecution. He came under attack. Heck, he had who came to help trying to kill him, but he did not waver. He operated this same way. He confessed with his mouth what he believed in his heart, because he always came in agreement to what it is God had already said about that situation, even when in the natural, it didn't look like it at all. And that is what he wants you to get out of this today, that his ways always works when you do it his way. Now, we talked about this already. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you never confessed that Jesus is the Lord of your life, you haven't come in agreement with God that Jesus is Lord, he says, then you can't partake of the kingdom of God. He says the only way you can get into the kingdom of God is through the Son. Remember, Jesus says, John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No one gets into the kingdom except through him. No one, not one person can come into the kingdom except through the Son of God. He says this in John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in the Son would not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't get to the Father without Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says it this way. It says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, healed, set free, delivered, and made whole. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. He says, but with your mouth, confession is made. Agreement with what God has already said about the situation is made unto your salvation. I want to give you an opportunity to pray this prayer with me. Say it out of your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say with me, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I receive righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you for it right now. I believe I'm saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you to right relationship with God, welcome you to right position. Or if you rededicated your life, man, I want to welcome you back into right relationship or right position. What do you do now? Man, you got to get in a word-based church. that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, teaches you about the kingdom of God. We know that faith life is such a place, and we want to invite you to join us every weekend, every Saturday, where we'll share a life-giving word with you that will ultimately change your life forever. If you want to hear this message and all other messages, you can go on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google, and you will be able to hear this and many, many other messages. You just got to look up for our podcast. It's called Ignite to Life. Ignite to Life audio podcast. Save, like, subscribe, share it with a friend, share it with a loved one. And remember this, God's ways always work for those who work it. On behalf of Pastor Julian and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.